Amen. Thank you all for all the worship leading today. Great to be back in God's house, worshiping Him and worshiping around Christmas time and the Christmas season and all that we take part of there. How many of you have handed out some of these cards? Oh, yes. Thank you, Johnny. Children, if you are here and know the age group there, go. Johnny's waiting for you there to take you to Children's Church. You are dismissed to go to Children's Church. And if you're still in here, Johnny's at the back door. He'll escort you upstairs. Parents, if you're first-time guests or not sure where they go, we can help you find them afterwards. We will give them back to you, we promise. So you can have them back there. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. All right. How many of you have handed out some of the cards that we've done? Excellent. At least seven of you have done something with them. No, it's quite a few of you here. We appreciate that. There is a few of these left if you weren't here last week or you've given yours out like me and want some more, pick up a couple more, a few more of them. This just has the events of the Christmas, starting with the Christmas music tonight from our music makers that we heard from earlier, and has all those events on there. It's real easy. Just hand them out to people. I carry them, as you saw last week, in front of my wallet. So as soon as I open my wallet up, I can just hand them to somebody wherever I'm at. And so I've handed out at least four, maybe five already, and I was only here last Sunday and Wednesday afternoon. So I encourage you to do that. Take some of those and hand those out. There's still some at the back table here and up here on this radio there was earlier. So hopefully we get up. We only had 500, so it's not hard for us to give those out. So let's do that and be obedient to Christ for that. Also, when you came in, you should have received a ribbon. Did you get a ribbon? Is there anybody here that does not have a string of ribbon? Okay, there's one, Pam. You've got a couple right there if you'll hand that one. Anybody else? Up there, everybody got a ribbon? All right, there's a couple back here. Somebody that still has, the girls still here that have those ribbons? Okay, they've got them there. Where'd the girls go that had the ribbons? Okay. We've got some here, okay. There's a couple in the back there, ladies. That if y'all keep your hands up till you get one, raise one up there, raise your hand up there. Oh, there's several of them there. We want to know if you don't have them, what you've got there. They've got some there. All right. Well, I've titled this message today, A Perfect Christmas Story. And hopefully you'll understand why as we go through here, but each person should have about an 8-inch piece of ribbon there. Hang on to that. I'll tell you what to do with that in a few minutes. Don't lose it. Don't clean your teeth with it or anything like that. You're going to hang on to it. It's thin, but we're going to use them for something else here in just a few minutes. And I want to thank the youth for helping me out today. I went up and asked if they would help me with that, and they jumped to it, and we're willing to do that. Maybe they just didn't want to say no to the preacher, but they did it, and I appreciate their help with that today, making sure everybody got one of those ribbons for us today. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, which is, we get a lot of our Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 41 through 46, and I'll get to that in a few minutes, but you can set everything down aside for right now, because I want everyone to stand with me. Mickey gets to do this all the time. I don't get to get you to stand a whole lot, but I want you to stand. Everybody stand with me. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and here's what we're going to do. What I want to do is I want to find out, just see how many of you are in the Christmas spirit and just how deep you're in already, in the Christmas spirit, okay? So I'm going to ask a few questions. If you can answer yes to this question, you may have a seat. You can sit down, and we'll see how many questions some of you make it through before we get here. So let me put my glasses on here so I can see here. I want you to remain standing until one of these applies to you. As soon as you can say yes to one of them, then you can sit down. Sit down if you have already wrapped, if you've already bought all your presents and you've wrapped all your presents already. Well, we got a couple. I got four of them there. Well, Mickey said, I don't buy anything, so he sat down, right?
No,
that's not true. Okay, but there's several that did. Okay, that's the first one. Sit down if you finished shopping and purchased all your gifts, but maybe you haven't wrapped them all yet. Okay, I got a few more there. Sit down if you left your house before 7 o'clock Friday morning, Black Friday, to go shopping. That one doesn't get as many as it used to, but we got a few of you there. You left your house before 7 o'clock that morning. All right. Sit down if you have already decorated at least one Christmas tree this season. Look at them. Boom, there they go. All right. Now, here's one. I want to check your honesty. Sit down if you have peeked at any of your gifts. Some of you are already, I should have asked that one first because we could have found out then, so. All right, sit down if you're just tired and ready to sit down. All right, we still got one standing. All right, So, sit down if you do not want to come up here and sing a solo right now. All right, I thought so. All right. You see, it's easy to get caught up in the fanfare of the season, isn't it? It's easy. It's just easy to get caught up in it. I want us to, we're going to read our passage this morning, and then we'll jump right into 3 points from this that I saw in this as I do this. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 41, this is what it says. Now his parents, being talking about Jesus, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Father God, we thank you for this, your word, and pray that we could learn from it and gain from it today in a way that you would help us, Lord, to live our lives more closely to the way you've called us to live. Guide us and open our hearts to be receptive to your Holy Spirit right now in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my question to you this morning, to base this whole message off of, is have you left Jesus behind? I want us to look closer at this scripture, what I refer to as a perfect Christmas story. Now, when you think of the Christmas story, is this the passage you normally think of from Luke chapter 2, verses 41? You don't, do you? Well, you know, every December, this passage always comes to mind when I get to Christmas. And hopefully after today, you'll never have another December come by that you won't remember it and think of it too. Every year, this Christmas season rolls around, this passage is one of the first ones I think of. And not only that, and I'll show you in a few minutes, that throughout the year, how I remind myself of this passage all year long. And hopefully you'll understand why I refer to it as a perfect Christmas story. But the first point this morning I want to see is that Jesus went along. We see this in verses 41 and 42. Jesus went along with his family. Jesus' family always went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And all good Jews did this. They would come from all over, and they would move to Jerusalem for that one, about a week to celebration there. And they made this long journey. Jesus' family made this long journey, even though they were very poor. Jesus' family was not rich, and there were several mouths to feed. We know that he had probably 4 brothers and at least 2 sisters, so there was at least 6 mouths to feed, plus the 2 adults, mom and dad. And so they weren't a wealthy group, but they still made this journey every year. And the way families would do this is what community groups of families would normally form a caravan, and they would all journey together. So all of Nazareth would just about all leave at one time, and they would go together, and they would travel in a caravan. And each caravan could range from anywhere from 50 to 450 people. And they all traveled together, probably safety in numbers, but other reasons as well. They traveled as a community caravan, you might say. Now, Joseph and Mary's journey was about 50 miles from Nazareth, where they lived, to Jerusalem. And the average day's travel was about 18 miles. They could travel up to about 18 miles in a caravan like this. And on the first day, most caravans did not travel that far. Most caravans only traveled about 6 miles. And there was a good reason for that. You'll understand as soon as I tell you, in case somebody left something behind, they had to go back and get it. You ever had to do that? You ever head out on a journey and you're, oops, I forgot something. I had to turn back and go get it. I remember we did that one time. We lived in Ohio, and we got, I don't know where, down almost to Cincinnati. Had to turn around and go back and get something. And other times we just said, well, we'll just pick up something in place of it on the way. But this would happen here. What would happen is in case somebody left something behind, then some of the family members could turn around, go back and get it, and still catch up with the caravan before they got too far along, even if it was the next day. Now, Nazareth was about a 4 days journey from Jerusalem. And Jesus and his family had to travel through parts of 3 small countries. And Nazareth was in the hill country, so no, we don't know what kind of paths they had. Narrow paths, probably stony paths, stones. And so we don't know, but it was quite a journey when they did it on foot. And to think of a large caravan going along this type of trip. And it was not mere coincidence that in this story, the writer here tells us that this trip was following Jesus' 12th birthday. You see, Jewish boys became men when they turned 12, when they reached their 12th birthday. And for Jesus, this would have been his very first Passover to celebrate as a man, which would have had good implications for it. I mean, he got to go with the men. He got to celebrate with the men who they went to in a separate court inside where the women and children could worship. And so this would have been his first Passover as a man. The trip had to be eventful and exciting for all 12-year-old boys, including Jesus, I believe. I'm certain that Jesus was eager and excited to go to Jerusalem this particular year. But then on the return trip that followed the Passover, we find our second point, and that is Jesus was left behind. So first, Jesus went along. He went with his family to celebrate the feast and did. But on the return trip, Jesus was left behind. We see this in verse 43. And here we read that Jesus actually stayed behind. It's not that they intentionally left him behind. He stayed behind, and his parents did not know it. They presumed that Jesus was with other friends or relatives in the caravan. This was not uncommon, especially since Jesus was now considered a man. Joseph and Mary regarded Jesus as responsible, and so they knew that he knew the arrangements. He knew what time the caravan was leaving, what point it was leaving from. And Joseph and Mary probably did not know Jesus was missing until they stopped for the evening and came together as a family unit to eat their meal for that evening. What happened in these caravans is the women and children always went first. So if there's 450 people, all the women and children went first. And then the men came behind them. And then if there's any animals, they were last so that you wouldn't step in and stuff the animals left behind. Okay? But the women and children went first so that the men would not walk away, because men walk faster. They wouldn't walk ahead of them and get too far ahead of them. But also, if there were any women or children that were stragglers, the men could catch them up and carry them back to their proper family unit up front. They didn't walk in family units, but the women and children were up front, then the men behind. And so Joseph may have presumed that Jesus was with Mary and his brothers and sisters, because that's where Jesus had always been. So Joseph may have just not crossed his mind that Jesus wasn't with them, thinking that he was with Mary, because he always had been all his life, the other 11 years that he had made this trip. And Mary, on the other hand, could have presumed that Jesus was with Joseph and the men, because now he's a man. He probably doesn't want to hang out with the kids. And so Mary probably thought that he was with the other men in the caravan, as Jesus was now considered a man. And since this was a community caravan, they could have assumed that Jesus was with other young men his age, all talking about what they had seen, what they'd heard, and just reveling in their first time to Jerusalem as the Passover as a man. And so when the caravan stopped for the evening, families came together oftentimes for the very first time of the day. The very first time that they'd seen each other and all been together as a family unit for the entire day was when the caravan stopped for that evening, for that meal, and then they would sleep in family groups and then get up and take off again the next morning. Now I can imagine the concern on Mary's face, worry on Mary's face at that time, at the thought of not knowing the whereabouts of one of her children. Parents, you understand this probably. If you've ever lost a child momentarily, or if you had one of your children that would run underneath the coat racks in the store and hide from you, you understand some of that. You understand the plethora of emotions that Mary and Joseph must have been facing that day. I believe that when they found out and they couldn't find him, they went through the caravan and really he wasn't with any other families, they couldn't find him, he wasn't with them. I believe that Mary and Joseph went running back to Jerusalem as fast as they could. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they began asking around. But no one had seen Jesus. Now I'm going to stop just a minute. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with this. So what I want you to do is I want you to take this ribbon, and I want you can ask the person next to you to help you, but I want you to tie it on your finger or tie one on the finger of the person you're sitting next to, so that you know, if you need help tying that, just get somebody sitting around you to help you do that. Just tie that on there. Now, don't cut the circulation off. We don't want your fingers to turn blue, all right? But just tie that on there loosely, and I want you to keep it there the rest of the message, because I'm gonna give you two reasons why I gave you that ribbon. Well, maybe even more than that, but at least two why I gave you that ribbon to wrap around your finger. So tie that around there, or have somebody tie it for you. Tie theirs around theirs if you can. Okay, so everyone should have a ribbon tied around one of your fingers. And we'll get back to that in just a minute, but I want you to do it now so when I'm there, you'll be ready. First point, Jesus went along. He went with his family to celebrate the Passover as good, devout Jews would. Second point, Jesus was left behind. But the third point is, Jesus had to be found. Jesus had to be found. And you can picture the situation. A 12-year-old boy had been left alone in a strange city, a very large city, which just a day before was bustling with maybe a million people or more. And Mary and Joseph didn't know. They searched diligently. They didn't know if he was still there in the city, maybe he'd got in the wrong caravan and was traveling in a different direction than where he was supposed to be going. They had no clue. And this was not like losing a wallet or your cell phone or a piece of jewelry. This was their son. And it was not just any son. This was God's only son. How do you explain that one to God? I mean, he already knows, right? But God, this is Joseph. We've been celebrating the Passover like you told us to. And, well, we left yesterday and we're missing something. Actually, it's Jesus. You know, you came with Jesus. I mean, how do you do that? How do you tell God, explain something? God, we just lost your son. He already knew that what was going on. But Jesus had to be found. And finally, 3 days into their search, they find Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus, sitting in the temple, and he's conversing with the priests and the rabbis. In verse 47, a great verse, I didn't read it, but verse 47 says all the people were amazed at the questions that he was asking those priests and those rabbis. But they found him. My mother would have grabbed me by the ear, and I can feel it even today. That may be why this earlobe's longer than this one. I don't know. But, and suffice it to say, my dad wore a belt about this wide. Most of you know what that means. If I had wandered off like that. But they found him. At least they found him. They found Jesus. So can you see why I consider this a perfect Christmas story? Let me expand that question, because that really stops a little short. Can you see why I consider this a perfect Christmas story for our society today? If you don't still, follow this. You'll see. After all the wrapping of presents, after all the trimming of the trees, all the decorating the house inside and out, all the food, all the parties, all the places we go and the things we do, all the tinsel, all the lights, all the ribbons, let me ask you one question. Where is Jesus in your Christmas? Have you left him behind? Have you left Jesus behind in your Christmas? How far back have you left him in your Christmas this year? With all the shopping, you go out shopping? Do you ever get irritated when you go shopping? Don't raise your hand. Don't confess to that one. See, we leave Jesus behind a lot of times in our Christmas plans. Of all the hustle and bustle, all the activity, some of it good, some of it worthy, but have you forgotten something? Someone? Have you forgotten the reason we celebrate is Jesus? Before we get too far into the activity of the season, let's make sure of one thing. Let's keep Jesus in Christmas all season long, no matter where we find ourselves and what we find ourselves doing. Some of you, my age group and some of the older ones, maybe even a few younger ones, remember people telling you, tie a string around your finger. Why would you tie a string around your finger? Somebody just tell me. To remember, yeah. Hey, if you can't remember it, tie a string around your finger and you'll remember what you put that string around there for. Well, that's the number one reason why I gave you this. Remember to keep Jesus in Christmas. Now, this is not the first time I've done this and used this illustration. I came across it actually when I was a youth pastor almost 40 years ago now. And I love it, and I've used it several times in different places. But I want you to keep that. I want you to remember that Jesus is the reason. And I've had people come back Sunday night with still wearing it. I've had people come back Wednesday night still wearing it. I've had people come back the next Sunday wearing that ribbon saying, I'm not leaving Jesus behind. And you know what else it does? If you go out to eat today at lunch, you've got a reason to start a conversation with someone that can turn to a gospel conversation real easy. And I'm going to give you another reason or two to keep that on your finger, or to keep that ribbon and keep it on your finger later in the message today. But this ribbon on your finger should remind you of what Christmas is supposed to be about. Jesus. It's His birthday we celebrate, right? I mean, that's what Christmas is. It's His birthday is what we celebrate. Now, do you realize that Christmas is the only birthday that we celebrate where we give gifts to everyone except the honoree? Think about that. You go to a Christmas party, everybody brings a gift for who? The honoree. At Christmas, we give gifts to everyone except the honoree. I think that's showing us that we're leaving Jesus out of Christmas. That we're leaving Jesus behind in part of our Christmas. It's His birthday we celebrate. Do you know where and when you left Him behind already this year, this Christmas season? But not only at Christmas, we leave Jesus behind certain times of the year all year long, right? Throughout the year, different aspects of our life, even our church life a lot of times, we leave Jesus behind, do we not? You see, when we fail to make the needed adjustments, we fail to follow God's leadership in the church. When we fail to make needed adjustments in our own lives or in whatever we're doing in the church, we're leaving Jesus behind. When was the last time you told someone about what God has done for you? We talk about this all the time. When was the last time you actually told someone about what God has done for you? That you bragged on God. When we have those opportunities and we don't take advantage of them, are we not leaving Jesus behind? I want you to keep that ribbon on, as I said, throughout the service. And I'll just tell you something. One of the things that I do, I keep, some of you may be able to see this, there's a red one right here in my Bible. And you know what passage it's in? I've got about three Bibles like this now because over the years I've been doing this. There's a red ribbon in my Bible, in Luke chapter 2. Just marks that page right there. Every time I pick up this Bible, what's the first thing I see? A red ribbon. What's that red ribbon remind me of? Don't leave Jesus behind. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 46. I told you before the service over, hopefully you would understand what I was talking about, and you would be able to remember that too throughout that, and every Christmas season you'll remember that. That's one way you can do it. Just keep it right there so that every day. And I've actually cut one long enough that sticks out the top and the bottom. So no matter what side I'm looking at, I get to see that ribbon. Don't leave Jesus behind. And so I encourage you to do that as well. Put it on your tape it on your mirror this Christmas season. So you see it every morning before you get up. I'm going to tell you something else to do with it as we go through the message today. But I'm reminded every time I pick up one of those three Bibles not to leave Jesus behind. And I try not to. I want Him beside me, walking with me, leading me everywhere I go and everything that I'm doing, guiding me. I don't want to leave Him behind. And let me encourage you to keep this ribbon that you've been given today and do something with that. Don't leave Jesus behind this Christmas season. Put Him at the forefront of everything in your life and keep Him at the forefront of your life. You know, in many countries in the world today, people are still serving false gods, even in our own nation. People are serving false gods, and they live in darkness. There are people in our own community right here, wherever you live, there are people in our own communities who are living in darkness. And I heard a story of an older gentleman who served the God of his country. This was another country nationally. We're talking about international missions this month. But this man was about to retire from his life's work, and he had decided he was going to make a pilgrimage from his home to the capital city of his country, which was the center of worship for his God and his religion. And for some reason, the people of this religion were taught that they had to please their God, they had to suffer. They had to develop some way they were going to suffer to pay for their sins that would please their God. And so this elderly man was about to set out what he decided, and a lot of people in the country would do something similar. He decided he was going to make a pilgrimage from his home to the capital center, which is their worst center of worship, and he was going to do it walking on his knees. That's how he was going to pay for his sins. It was a great distance. I don't know how many miles it was or how many days or weeks it would have taken him on his knees, It would definitely be uncomfortable. And his knees would undoubtedly be cut by the rocks or just the hard ground, probably within the second day. A lot of bruising the first day, maybe even cuts the first day, but they would be cut. And then as he would move on, as he would continue to walk on his knees, dirt would get into those cuts, infection would set in. And this elderly man planned to make this trip knowing that he might not ever succeed, knowing that he might die along the way, but that's what he had been taught by his religion. That was the way he had to pay for his own sins. Even though he might not make it, he would probably die before he got there, he was convinced that he had to do this to please his God. And I thank God for one of our international missionaries who was persistent, who's written this story, gave this story, but he was persistent in witnessing to this man. And he says it was difficult to get through to the older man, gentleman, but finally, he says, he did receive Christ, thanks to one of our missionaries. He finally convinced him that God did not want him to suffer by making this long journey walking on his knees, because that could never pay for his sins. He finally was able to convince the guy. Nothing he could do could pay for his sins. Nothing you can do can pay for your sins. Nothing that I can do can pay for my sins. Jesus paid it all. All Jesus wanted, he explained to the man, all Jesus wanted was you. All Jesus wants is you. He wants all of you. Jesus did not want this man to manifest some type of suffering. He doesn't expect that from any of us. Doing something that causes harm to the body is not ministry, and it's not suffering for Jesus. I thought of another word, but I won't say it here, what that might be. It wasn't a dirty word, just wasn't one that I want to say. But Jesus wants the same from you and me. He just wants you. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. That's all. He doesn't want you doing something because you think it will please him or because it's the way we've always done it, and we're really guilty of that in our churches. To give Jesus your all means to give him every corner, every closet of your life to him. For just a moment, I want you to take a look at that ribbon on your finger. Just hold it in front of you and look at that ribbon. Just concentrate on that ribbon. Look at it. I want you to think about yourself as a Christmas present to Jesus. Because right now, will you give yourself as a Christmas present to Jesus? All he wants is you. Not some self-supposed act or position in the church. He only wants you. Leave all the baggage behind. Leave all those other things that you think, you know, I'll do this, this will please God if I do that. Leave all that baggage behind and give yourself as a Christmas present to Jesus this morning. And then I'm going to ask you to do it every morning between now and Christmas. Every morning between now and Christmas when you get up. Wherever you've got this ribbon, whether it's on your mirror, whether you've got it in your Bible, or wrapped on your phone, or whatever, where you can see it every morning, remember to give yourself as a Christmas present to Jesus. But I don't want you to do that on Christmas morning, though. I want you to change it. On Christmas morning, I want you to give yourself to Jesus as a birthday present. It's his birthday. Give him you as a birthday present. On Christmas morning. You see, when you give a birthday gift to someone, you don't expect to get it back for your use. When you give a birthday gift to someone, you give it to them so they can use it how they want to use it. Give yourself to Jesus so that he can use you the way that he wants to. Let him use you in 2023. As he desires in every area of life. You see, the only way to take Christ out of Christmas is for you to leave him behind. No gift ever purchased is yours until you accept it, you unwrap it, and you put it to use. Don't leave Jesus behind this Christmas season. Place him at the forefront. of everything that you do, every place that you go. Would you stand with me? This is our time of invitation, or our time of response. It's our responding to God as He has called us, as He desires for us. And I'm going to lead us in prayer as we enter into this time. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for this scripture that you've given us, that we can see something afresh and anew. We can see something different. We can understand why this can be the perfect Christmas story for our society today, and we don't want it to be. So, Father, help each one of us from this moment forward to realize how easy it is to leave Jesus behind in the festivities and the activities of the season. Father, I pray that as you've been able, through your Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts today, to tug at our hearts, to mend broken hearts, to break cold hearts, whatever it is you've done inside the hearts of the people here and those who are listening or watching. Lord, I pray that you would guide us all, help us all to follow in obedience to whatever it is you're teaching us and trying to teach us and desiring to teach us today. To realize that nothing we can do can pay for our sins. Nothing we can do in our own strength is going to draw us to you. Or it's going to make you happy. We need to turn everything over to you. So may we give ourselves, begin with me. I give myself as a Christmas present, and on your 25th as a birthday present to Jesus. Use me in whatever ways you choose and you desire for your glory. Father, for someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they don't know that when they leave here, this earth, when they die, whatever, that they're going to go to heaven. I pray that your Holy Spirit's been able to use this scripture and this message this morning to help them understand their need for a Savior. Only Jesus Christ can wash away those sins and can make that place available to us in heaven. Father, I pray that whatever it is you're speaking to us today, that we would respond to you in a way, whether it's come to the altar and pray or go to someone else and just share a word with them or a word of encouragement or pray with someone else or come and speak to me or Johnny or Mickey or anybody. But Father, I pray that not one of us would leave here without resolving with you to respond to you right now in whatever ways you call us to respond. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Respond as God leads you.